and you have to be there for it. You have to make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and be passionate about it. Make sure all the consistency's there. You make the dough the same way every time, the sauce the same way every time. You'll be successful if you have a good product.
What do you do when the corporate job gets to be too much and you really just miss the deep dish pizza you grew up with at your grandpa's restaurant? You open your own place, naturally. But the research that went into Brian Tondrick's odyssey in his second career is enough to open a slew of Chicago-style pizzerias. The story behind Bartoli's, straight ahead.
Straight fire pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. A quick reminder, we're a week away from Pizza City Fest Chicago. It's August 26th and 27th at the Salt Shed. 40 pizza makers from all over our region in Chicagoland, featuring 10 different styles of pie every day. Not just deep dish, not just tavern, 10 styles, folks. World-class seminars featuring Ratza's Dan Richer, A Piece of Shoals' Brian Spangler, and Pizza Lola's Ann Kim. Unlimited drinks, salads, sides, and desserts. And new this year, live entertainment and music as well. Lots of surprises in store. More info at pizzacityfest.com. Now this week we are previewing one of those participants who's going to be on site August 26th, making a deep dish pizza inspired by his grandfather's famous pizzeria, which started in Chicago in 1966. That was Gino's East. Brian Tondrick is our guest today. He's the founder of Bartoli's Pizza, named for his grandfather, Fred Bartoli, who you're going to learn about today. Brian had had enough of the corporate job and decided to become a pizza maker just a little over a decade ago, opening his first place about a mile west of Wrigley Field. Now he's got two stores, and I met him recently at that new location in Westtown. And I began our discussion, as I always do, by asking our guest about their first pizza memory, which will come as no surprise to anyone.
Well, it's definitely my grandfather's restaurant. Probably earliest memories would have been mid-70s. Going downtown, hanging out at the restaurant all day. It was always fun, you know, running around and playing at the restaurant. I think I was probably about 5 years old that I can remember. That's how I got hooked on deep dish pizza.
So it was a deep dish pizza without question at Gino's East.
It was definitely a Gino's East deep dish pizza. That was, you know, my favorite. Always asked my mom, let's go down to see grandpa and get some pizza.
Okay, so tell folks who your grandpa was and how significant he is and was to Chicago's pizza history.
Sure. Well, my grandfather's name's Fred Bartoli. He started Gino's East Pizza in 1966, and he was a taxi driver, actually. He came into, got out of World War II, became a taxi driver. And his partner from the taxi company, he also brought into the business when they opened Gino's East. They bought a building on Superior in Michigan in 1965, I believe. And they were trying to figure out what to do with it. They had a fine dining restaurant that was doing okay. And then pizza was starting to get popular. Deep dish pizza was kind of getting popular. Pizzeria Uno had a name a little bit. And they decided to do deep dish pizza. Uno was the first, but Gino's is what made it a name for Chicago.
Well, so Uno started in 43. It was called the Pizzeria and Ricardo's alternately. In 55, they opened up Pizzeria Due down the block. And so Gino's East was really the third deep dish in Chicago, probably, right? Or fourth?
Yeah, it's the fourth. Gino's on Rush opened up 1953, before Due did, I believe. So they were the second, and then Due, which is basically Uno, and then Gino's opened in 66.
And they were trying to do something similar or different? I'd heard that they got Alice Mae Redmond, who used to cook at Due's, to be their cook.
That's true. So they asked Alice Mae, I believe, this is the story I heard. Alice Mae was hired to come and develop a different recipe for their deep dish pizza. So, and that's the Gino's original recipe, from what I understand.
I had heard that when she came over, she was having trouble getting this dough to pan out quick enough because, you know, it's very tight. You make it the day of, you got to let it rest a little bit. And I heard that she had thought of a biscuit short dough recipe because she was from Mississippi, where you probably add bacon fat. But in Chicago, you're adding oil or vegetable oil. And suddenly in the late 60s, you start to see more oil in the dough. And certainly enough, when I go to Lou Malnati's, if you ever do one of those make your own deep dish classes, the dough is quite oily, but that does let it stretch out, pan out easier or faster. Does any of that ring true to you?
Yeah. So you got to have the fat and the oil in the dough to make it work. And so it's a heavy oil, heavy fat dough. And you could use oil, you could use several other fats too, which would work as well too. But yeah, you definitely have to let the dough refrigerate overnight. That's really important. You want to get that slow fermentation. And you need a double rise, and then you have to let the dough relax. To be able to stretch in the pans, you have to let it relax. So it has to settle, and then you can squeeze it up the sides.
Talk about that a little bit. So squeezing up the sides, again, most people from out of Chicago think deep dish pizza is a casserole, which it is not. The original deep dish, the pictures I've seen from the 40s and 50s from Uno's and Due's, you know, people are holding up these slices of pizza. It's a crisp, firm, biscuit-like, firm, tender, crisp, tender dough. You tell me what your memories are as a kid growing up, you know, at Gino's East.
My memories from Gino's East are that the dough was very kind of flaky, light, buttery, had a really good flavor to it, and it was crunchy on the outside. Not overly thick, but it did get a little thick on the outsides, but the bottom wasn't super thick. So that was my original memories of the dough. And I've seen a lot of people do things a little bit different today, like they're using too much dough or not enough dough. But you need the right amount of dough to make the pie work correctly, I should say.
Okay, you mentioned Gino's, which was on Rush. That was the place where everybody scribbled their names on the walls, I think, because I was there once in the 80s. What is there a connection between Gino's and Gino's East?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe there might have been some connection in the past with one of my grandfather's partners. But I'm not really sure, and I don't want to talk about something that I'm not 100% sure of.
Grandpa was a cab driver. Were the other two guys cab drivers too, or are they just in business?
No. Okay, so my grandfather was a cab driver. He had a partner. His name was Sam Levin. And then my grandfather's good friend was named George Laverty. And George Laverty and my grandfather ended up buying the building on Superior, Michigan. And that's when they, you know, didn't know what to do with it. And then they decided to do the pizza thing. My grandfather brought his partner from the cab company in. That was Sam Laverty. Gave him a percentage of the business as well. So that was the three of them. And then later on in the 80s, my grandfather opened up a second location in Skokie on Dempster, which is no longer there. But yeah, there was just the two locations for the longest time. And then later on in the late 80s or mid 80s, my grandfather and his partners were all getting up there in age and they decided to retire. So they sold the business.
Did things change after that? Do you remember? Because you're obviously now a teenager or even in your 20s at this point. How did things change?
Things are a little bit different than they were back then from what I can see. But of course, I don't know what they do today because we don't have any ownership in the business whatsoever. But I feel like some things may have changed a little bit. The pizza's still very good. Not really sure, though. I can't tell you what they're doing today.
So clearly this is not going to be in your inheritance. You're not going to go into this business because he sold it. And yet, several years later, you open up Bartoli's as an homage to him up in Roscoe Village on Addison, about a mile and a half or so west of Wrigley. Why go through this again? You know how difficult that is.
I always had the passion for it. Growing up, it was something I always wanted to do. Of course, my grandparents or my grandfather sold the business before I was old enough to work. And I was in a sales and corporate career for 17 years and just said, you know what, I just want to do it. You know, got back into it. Started making pizzas, took some old recipes, did some alterations to them, started bringing them to my friends at the bars, and everybody's like, man, you're ready to go. Just do it.
Did any part of you feel like, had you gone back to Gino's East to try what they were doing and like, oh man, this is not my grandfather's legacy, I got to correct that?
Yeah, so that was the whole inspiration for me to do this was from my grandfather, and I wanted to make a pizza exactly like I could remember growing up. That's Bartoli's, and a lot of the people who come to my restaurant who are old enough to remember the original Gino's East back from the 70s and 80s and even the 60s, I still get customers coming in here that remember when it opened, and they're saying that this reminds me of the original Gino's East pizza.
So how do you do that R&D? How do you go back in time to replicate those taste memories you had as a kid, because obviously you can't just go to Gino's East and ask them for their what they're cooking with now. And you probably can't remember it as because you were a little kid back then.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what the recipe is for the original Gino's East. I had some family recipes that we worked on that I was messing around with and just started screwing around with the dough. And I talked to a few old timers that used to work at the restaurant, got a few hints from a few people. And I think we pretty much nailed it. I mean, it's definitely a little bit different than the original Gino's, but it's pretty close, I think.
When you see people from outside of Chicago making fun of our deep dish pizza, our beloved pizza, it must get under your skin a little bit, because you know that the pizza that you grew up with, the pizza that you're making at Bartoli's, is not a lasagna, is not an above ground outdoor pool, is not a boat anchor. So how do you combat that, or do you just ignore it?
You know what? Everybody's got their favorite. If you don't like deep dish, that's your thing. And it is unique to Chicago. It is. I mean, other states and cities are doing pan pizza, like Detroit. They have their own pan, and it's very good as well. But Chicago's pizza is deep dish. I mean, we are a thin crust city as well, a cracker crust thin. And I'm not sure that originated here either. I think St. Louis may have started that. That's what this whole big thing is going on right now. But Chicago is a deep dish pizza place. We sell a lot of deep dish pizza, so I would say it's both. There's both styles, and everybody likes their own. So, and we sell a lot. We sell a lot of both to people. So they'll order a thin crust and a deep dish.
But do you feel like you have to sort of set the record straight when you're talking about deep dish? You have to convince people, or at least show them, that it is not lasagna.
Yeah, I mean, it's not lasagna, and people just, you know, they listen too much to what certain people say on social media and whatnot. It's definitely not a lasagna. It's just it's not an overly heavy pizza either. It shouldn't be. I mean, stuffed pizza definitely is more of a heavy pizza, but deep dish is really not that heavy. I mean, it's the crust isn't that much thicker than thin crust, except for maybe a little bit on the outsides. And you do get more ingredients, but you're not going to eat 10 slices of deep dish. You're going to eat 2 slices, where you're going to eat 10 slices of thin crust.
Exactly. And do you want your pizza to be held? Like, could you eat your pizza without a knife and fork?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time you can, unless you get a lot of vegetables and it gets really watery and whatnot, and then there's nothing you can do to save the crust. But overall, yeah, you can pick up a slice of deep dish and eat it like it's a slice of thin crust. I mean, just pick it up like it's – you really don't even need a fork and knife.
One thing I just thought of when you were just saying watery – because your pies typically bake for 30 to 40 minutes, if you put raw mushrooms, raw peppers, spinach on your pie, it's going to leach a lot of water out. Do you ever think about, or do people in your part of the business pre-cook, roast or saute vegetables ahead of time?
You know, a lot of people do. We don't. Our vegetables are all put on fresh. And sometimes you do get a little bit more water than you'd like, but I feel like pre-cooking vegetables maybe isn't the best thing in the world, so we like to just put them on raw.
Okay, what's the typical order here? How do you, most people come in sausage style here?
Sausage is definitely number one, and we have a great sausage. It's made by a local butcher who uses our family recipe.
I'm guessing it's just raw, and you pinch and press it onto the pie?
It is. It's pinched and pressed on. It's not pre-cooked, like maybe a New York style would be, or so Chicago style. It's definitely a raw pizza, a raw sausage that's pinched on.
And you bake it for, what, half an hour, 30, 40 minutes?
Yeah, so deep dish takes about 30 to 40 minutes, depending on what's on it, and then a thin crust would be about half that time, 15 minutes.
Do you think there is an ecosystem here in Chicago of deep dish places that makes it easier for someone to go into this business? You obviously have it in your blood and you grew up with it, but like, if you were opening up a place in Chicago, is it easier because of the supply of pans or the talent or the knowledge, or, you know, there's something about this environment that makes it easier? Because I've seen deep dishes in other parts of the country that just are miserable and that fail terribly.
Yeah, we definitely have the right ingredients locally here to make a deep dish well. I think maybe in other parts of the country, they struggle getting the right type of flour, and they don't have the right kind of sausage. So we do have everything locally here, and all the traditional sausage makers are in the city of Chicago or in the suburbs. So we can make, yeah, we definitely have an advantage over, I'd say, the rest of the country for making deep dish pizza.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Brian Tondrick here at Bartoli's Pizzeria in Chicago to learn a little bit more about his process and how he makes a deep dish. So stay with us. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here at Bartoli's Pizzeria in Chicago with Brian Tondrick, the founder and owner. There are two locations. One is up in Roscoe Village on Addison and Damon. We're in the West Town location, the newer location over here on Ashland. For those of you who know about the Chicago's grid system, we are at 1600 West and about 700 North. What's the exact?
658.
658. Okay, so just north of Ohio. All right, we're back in the kitchen now. You've got a deep pan here. This is a, what, a 14-incher?
14-inch, yeah. We're going to make a 14-inch deep dish. And what would you like to put on it?
Well, probably sausage, Chicago style. But look, before we get to that, let's talk about the pan. Where do these guys come from?
These are from American Metalcraft.
Are they kind of the dominant ones?
There's two companies, but these are the best ones. They're steel inside and aluminum coated on the outside.
Do they build up that carbon on the outside?
They do. It takes time. That's about 2 years worth right now. It's pretty darn black, and that helps with the flavor as well.
All right, the dough. Talk about the flour you're using.
We use a flour called Sarasota flour. It's a
Hecker's Sarasota, of course.
Yeah.
Big sponsors of the Pizza
Never
City
heard
Fest.
Of that one before, but it's a Chicago staple. Everybody uses pretty much Sarasota for Chicago style pizza for both thin and deep dish.
Okay.
We put it in the refrigerator overnight for the first rise, and then we pat it down and do it again. It's double rise.
Is that all bulk ferment?
It's a bulk ferment, yeah.
Okay.
You can do both. You can put it in the pan and let it rise, or you can bulk ferment. It really makes no difference.
Two rises on the next day.
Yep.
And then you just portion it and your balls, and then you're into the pan.
Portion balls, and it's going to rise probably one more time, and you push it down, and then as the order comes in, you squeeze it into the pan.
I'm looking at this now in the pan, and I see this, the perimeter, it is rising,
yep.
And then you've pressed it down, and it has a little bit of a kind of a yellowish hue. What is that from?
Well, that's a secret. We can't really talk about the what actually goes into the deep dish dough, but
could there be some corn product possibly?
You know, I don't want to speak of that, what's in the dough right now, but I can tell you there's definitely some fat in the dough.
Okay, all right. Then you're going to put slices of cheese on top, not shreds. Typically, a stuffed pie, like a Nancy's or a Giordano's, is going to be shreds of mozzarella. You like slices of mozz. Why?
So we tested it both ways because I'm wondering, that was my question too, is why did deep dish originally have slices? And I'm like, well, that doesn't seems kind of weird. It seems like it'd be easier just to throw shredded cheese on there, save time. Well, we tried it both ways. The slices actually works better. It melts better. The shredded cheese got really greasy and oily, where the slices kind of still held their shape, and it stretched really well. So slices it was. We didn't change it.
Do you want to name check your cheese people?
We buy a cheese that's made in Wisconsin. It's through Saputo. I'd rather not share the name of the cheese.
Fine.
But it's a whole milk. It's a whole milk, low moisture mozzarella. So
they look like about 1 ounce slices.
They're about 1 ounce slices. So we put about a little over about 21 ounces of cheese on a large and about a pound on a medium.
Okay. Well, so then first thing here, sausage. I'm looking in the mise en place in your cooler, big ass mound of raw Italian sausage with lots of fat, and I'm guessing some fennel.
Yeah, salt, fennel, pepper. That's it.
Okay. How do you apply it?
It's done by hand. We just squeeze it on into little chunks and on deep dish, big chunks. So,
want to show me?
Yeah.
Okay, so this again, we've just got the cheese down on the dough. He's pressing it down.
We're going to press it down, and we're going to push up the sides right now.
Oh, so you're pressing down the middle, and you are actually pulling. Now you're pressing the sides up against the wall of the pan.
That's right.
And they're almost as high as the pan's about 2 inches high.
About 2 inches, right.
Okay, so you really have created a well there.
Yes.
So this is going to be certainly thinner than a Sicilian would be, and yet people think it's so thick, it's crazy. But it's just the height of the side that is thin.
That's right.
But it's high.
Yeah, Sicilian or grandma's pizza, it's going to be more airy and thicker, where this is just flat on the bottom. In my opinion, I think it's better just loose like this versus doing a patty.
So you're not weighing this. You're just literally pinching and pressing onto big sort of like golf ball width size pieces of sausage.
Exactly. We just want to kind of cover the majority of it. So you're pretty much going to get a little bit of sausage in every bite. You don't want to overwhelm somebody with it.
Yeah, I agree. You don't get the OBR, the optimal bite ratio.
That's right.
Okay.
There, yeah.
All right. So now after the sausage.
Well, you want to do a Chicago classic, a little sausage, mushroom, onion, green pepper?
I think less is more. Again, the mushrooms scare me because I want to see them roasted ahead of time. I think it's going to kick off too much moisture. So I would just go simple here.
What do you want? What else would you just leave a sausage in?
Let's just do sausage.
Okay, perfect. Okay, next step is then the sauce. So we use California tomatoes, plum tomatoes, and we add a bunch of, a few things in there, oregano, basil, garlic, a little salt and pepper.
You want to give say a name or no?
Well, we use two different products. I don't want to name those two, but they're California plum tomatoes.
Gotcha. Okay. It looks quite chunky. Are you worried about too much liquid being the enemy of the bottom dough?
You know what? No. On a sausage pizza, you're not going to have a problem with moisture and water. On a veggie pizza, it's definitely better to order it uncut and cut it at your house so it'll hold up better. And that's what we recommend.
Okay. So big ladle here.
Yep.
You're going to add this to the pie. And now your sausage is actually placed strategically everywhere. But you spread the sauce pretty evenly and quickly with the bottom of the ladle, and you're not messing up the positioning
not
of the
all.
Sausage.
Not at all. So yeah, you just put the sauce in the middle of the pizza and you just kind of spread it outwards to the outside to where the crust is. And the last but not least, we want to throw a sprinkle of Parmesan cheese on top.
And then do you do any dried oregano or any other seasoning?
We don't put oregano's in the sauce already. So on the thin crust pizza, we'll put a blend of Parm and oregano on it. But on the deep dish, it's already built into the sauce, all the flavor.
Okay, so. Into your antique oven here. What is this, Middleby?
Yeah, so it's a 1961 Middleby Marshall. We use both that and old Blodgett ovens, and we believe the older Blodgetts actually cook better than anything, the ones from like the 60s and 70s.
Is that because they've got those stone decks?
Yeah, the stone decks, like back in the day, they had asbestos decks. They were made out of asbestos, and the asbestos stone decks actually cook the best. And the old timers will tell you the same thing.
So this has got this rotating deck. It's almost like a Ferris wheel. He just tossed it in there on the steel deck, yeah?
It's steel. Yeah, it's a steel deck. It revolves, cooks at the same temperature as our Blodgetts do. And it's a very even cook. So in our Blodgetts, we have to actually rotate the pizzas around the deck because there's hot spots on the deck. On the Middleby Marshall, you don't have to do anything. It just cooks. It's so even. The cooking temperature is the same everywhere.
What's your temperature in this?
It's between 480 and 500. You don't want to go over 500 for deep dish. It'll just burn too fast and it won't cook the middle.
And you're checking it like a half hour?
We check it in, about 30 minutes.
When we come back, pizza will be ready. Hey, but before we pull this deep dish, I don't want to ask you about the thin crust. We didn't really talk about the thin crust. Is that a significant portion of your business? People come here expecting deep dish.
Yeah, okay, so Chicago's known for both. Deep dish isn't something you're going to eat every week. It's not going to be your weekly pizza, most likely, but there are some people that do eat it every week. So people kind of mix it in with the thin crust. So they'll do thin crust for a couple weeks, and then they'll order a deep dish. It's something that's more for an occasion, more for a party. It's not something you're going to eat on a weekly basis, just because it's a little bit heavier than maybe a thin crust would be. So we probably sell 3-to-1.
So again, the sides, probably 2 inches high, but they're quite thin.
Yep.
And then the middle dough is probably going to be not even a half, quarter inch, probably.
Deep. Yeah, it's probably about 3/8, quarter inch, something like that. Yeah.
Okay,
let's cut it and take a look.
All right, cardboard's going to come down. He's going to put a little circle of cardboard underneath it. Get the big ass knife out. Love that sound. What do you sell a slice for, by the way? A slice of deep dish?
$4.25.
Wow.
Best deal around.
Do you sell a lot of deep slices?
We sell quite a bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like that idea because I don't want to commit to a whole pie.
So we do both in our slice cabinet on National. We do deep dish and thin crust at both restaurants. We do actually. We sell, so it's convenient. It's nice to be able to come in and get a slice of deep dish. Most places don't do it.
So I took a bite of the heel first. That little sort of it's a little slightly yellow color to it. I'm going to guess there's cornmeal. I know you're not going to tell. You're not going to confirm or deny, but there's definitely some cornmeal in there, corn flour in there, because I can taste the corn element, which I absolutely love. To me, that's a Midwestern pizza. I'm just going to let you nod your head or not. And then I went into the tip of it with the cheese and the sauce and the sausage, and I can really taste the oregano. It's kind of oregano forward. That's an intentional thing.
It is. You definitely have to want a little bit of flavor in the sauce. Okay, so I think it's just a well-balanced flavor. It's got a nice Italian flavor to it.
Sausage is fantastic.
Good. Yeah,
the fat, the fennel, the fact that sausage fat renders off into the pie gives it such a great, unique flavor.
The sausage is like a traditional sausage. It's salt, pepper, fennel, and that's all you need.
And for the record, I could pick it up with my hands. A little messy, but I did not need a knife and fork. I could absolutely eat this with my hands. And so that's mission accomplished, yeah?
That's mission accomplished. I mean, it shouldn't be super messy.
Right. Okay. Delicious, though. Delicious. Honestly, if you're going to be in Chicago and you can't go to the usual places, you've got to come to Bartoli's. Last question I'm going to ask you before we say goodbye. We ask all of our guests the same question. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, What would you have told yourself in the year you... When did you open up Bartoli's on Addison?
2013.
What would you have told yourself in 2012 to be successful in the pizza business? What advice would you give your younger self?
To be successful, you have to be there. You have to work hard. I mean, I work 7 days a week. We're working 100-hour days. I mean, 100-hour weeks, excuse me. And you have to be there for it. You have to make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing and be passionate about it. Make sure all the consistency's there. You make the dough the same way every time, the sauce the same way every time. You'll be successful if you have a good product.
The restaurant, again, is called Bartoli's. There are two locations, one in Roscoe Village on Addison, the other here in Westtown on Ashland. Brian is probably going to be at one of the other each day, as he just said. You'll probably see him working his 100-hour days, which feels like a 100-hour day. Bartoli's is the place. Brian Tondrick, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on carrying on a tradition that your grandfather started so many years ago.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, coming up in 2 weeks, we are coming off the heels of our second Pizza City Fest Chicago. So I'm going to have a brief recap, including excerpts from some of our favorite educational panels. That's in 2 weeks on September 1st. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder to support the show, if you haven't already, at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.